Every Thursday we read from your letters, and this week there have been many about Daniel's Wordling's reports on antibiotics and livestock.
Listener Aaron Smith writes, "The story was perhaps the best I've ever heard on your program. Overuse of antibiotics has already created much larger problems, however. Multiple drug-resistant tuberculosis has already been seen, along with other organisms. If people can't cope with a minor infection and keep overusing these antibiotics, we will eventually create a killer bug we're powerless to stop."
But Ed Nicholson, the director of media and community relations for Tyson Foods, writes, "We've been working to decrease the use of antibiotics, and within the past year have eliminated the routine subtherapeutic use of antibiotics as growth promotants. We currently process about 23% of the chickens in the U.S., so not all chickens are fed antibiotics on a routine basis. We do administer antibiotics to flocks prescribed with illnesses, but not to the extent that your piece might have implied."
Donna Whitley and Kajim Septi heard my interview with Tanya Streeter, who plans to dive more than 400 feet underwater without tanks, just holding her breath. They say, "We fell in love with Streeter and with the nonchalance with which she describes this outrageous sporting event. We admire her rare courage and stamina, but we couldn't help feeling that if we knew her, if she were a friend or family member of ours, we would do everything in our power to talk her out of this record attempt. Please convey our concern for her welfare and our request that she find less life-threatening ways for testing her mettle. We require no further demonstration of it."
In response to Brooke Gladstone's story about Don Imus, Andrew Nosell of Providence, Rhode Island, wrote to agree with Imus's critics. He says, "However much Imus insists he is not a racist, the powerless are vastly overrepresented among his targets."
But many Imus fans who also listen to this program wrote in protest of that story. For example, Gary Brott of Greensboro, North Carolina. He writes, "Brooke Gladstone highlighted the base aspects of Imus and seems bewildered as to his appeal. Let me provide some perspective. I've listened for years. Can Imus be base and offensive? Yes. Is this often the case? No. Does he try to provide some humor and perspective to a world that often takes itself all too seriously? Yes. Is there much, much more to Imus, as Mike Wallace suggested in the story? Absolutely. She missed the fundamentals of Imus, who is appealing because he does not try to pretend to be anything other than what he is, an irascible, entertaining, thoughtful, and at times boorish man with a loving heart."
And finally, flaming Pop-Tarts. We heard about the alleged flammability of Pop-Tarts after a couple sued Kellogg's, claiming their house burned down thanks to a cherry Pop-Tart caught in the toaster. The chemistry professor we talked to agreed with Kellogg's claim that Pop-Tarts don't cause fires.
But Jeff Horich of St. Cloud, Minnesota writes, "This is no urban legend. I put one in a toaster 10 years ago and went into another room to watch TV. A smell drew me back into the kitchen 5 minutes later to find the Pop-Tart had lodged in the toaster, preventing it from popping up. I did find 1.5 feet flames coming out of my toaster and a large and growing charred area of formica underneath."
And as for the litigation, David Borax in Davidson, North Carolina says, "I'd say it sounds like time for a bit of Pop-Tort reform."
Thanks to all for writing. Our address is Letters, All Things Considered, National Public Radio, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip code is 20001. For email, use atc@npr.org. And tell us, please, where you live and how you say your name.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.